And again, Lord, thank you for every person that's come out this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you said that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I thank you that you reward us today, Father, with your presence, with your anointing, with your grace, with your strength that we partake of as we come together. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you for revelation and understanding to come into our hearts, Lord. You said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word today. It is our bread. It is our food. It is our nourishment. It is our life. We receive your word now in Jesus' name, illuminated by the Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds. We thank you for it. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you ever had to deal with a bully? Anybody ever have to, when you were a kid, did you ever have to deal with some of you probably were the bully, but you know, I personally, I never did. I never had to deal with a bully growing up. But I've seen on TV, you know, you see in the movies, you see the little kid that's being, you know, the he's being intimidated by the bully, and the bully steals his lunch money every day and all of that. And so finally he goes home and his dad says, son, you're going to have to stand up to that bully. Maybe, you know, you've seen that. Or maybe you had to deal with a bully. Well, I got to thinking about this. You know, in some ways, this COVID-19 is a bully. And one way to deal with the bully is to avoid the bully and hide from the bully. Now, the only problem with that is the bully doesn't go away. If you avoid the bully, you can be safe. But the bully may alter the way that you live. You may not get to go everywhere you want to go. You may not get to do everything you want to do. And you'll always be calculating the bully into your decisions. Well, if I walk down the street to go to the playground to play with my friends, this is the street the bully is usually on. You'll always be calculating that. Now, another way to deal with the bully is to confront the bully in such a way that the bully can no longer intimidate you or threaten you. Amen. All right? Amen. To do that, in order to do that, though, you need to have confidence that you can take the bully on and that you're strong enough to do so. Right. If you know you're not, then the wisest course for the present time is to avoid the bully if you know you're not strong enough. All right? But if you want to be free from the bully's influence over you, then you'll have to confront and defeat the bully. All right? So how do we do that? How do we get strong enough to defeat this invisible enemy, this invisible virus? I think the most important thing that we can do is something called immunity. It's something called building up our immune system. And I'm going to get to the scripture in a minute. You say, well, Pastor, I came to hear the Bible today. You're going to hear the Bible, I promise you. But I'm laying a foundation here because if I do this, I think what we share with you in the scripture will have a greater impact. So just stay with me. This is from some information about our immune system. I just got this from WebMD. What is the immune system? Simply put, the immune system is a balanced network of cells and organs that work together to defend you against disease. It stops threats like bacteria or viruses from getting into your body. Think of it as a powerful search and destroy task force that sends immune cell forces out to hunt down the unwanted intruders and get rid of them. That's what your immune system. Thank God. Think about that. God created our bodies to ward off disease. God gave us an immune system. And some people say healing's not his will. He created the body to heal itself. He created the body to fight off disease.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
That's what the immune system does. All right? How does it work? Your body makes proteins called antibodies. You ever heard of antibodies? And then if you get low on those or you don't have natural ones, you can go to the doctor and they'll give you an Antibiotic, right? Okay. Your body makes proteins called antibodies that destroy abnormal or foreign cells. They help fend off common ailments like the flu or a cold and protect you against major illnesses like cancer or heart disease. Now, another thing is this, is that bad health habits can slow down our immune system. That's why doctors urge us to make certain lifestyle changes and better choices with our lifestyle. And the number one thing they say to do to keep your immune system from getting compromised or getting weakened is to lower your stress. It's the most important change that you can make. A steady flow of stress hormones makes it hard for your body to keep well. Now, this is all going to make sense to you in a minute when we start opening up the scripture, okay? Next, work on getting enough sleep. You need 7 to 8 hours each night to boost your defenses. Now, all this, don't say, okay, let's wait till the spiritual. All this you can take and use, okay? Again, this is not a health talk. This is a Bible lesson, but you can take this stuff and use it, okay? All right, exercise also helps your immune system perform at a high level. These tactics also bump up your levels of IgA, a protein in your immune system that fights infections. It helps keep threats out of your body and zaps any that do get in. Praise God. So the immune system's doing two things. Number one, it's creating a wall to keep disease, viruses, sickness from getting in. But if something happens to penetrate or to get by, then that second level is zapping those things that do get in. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise God. And then finally, make good hygiene a habit. Nothing beats the power of frequent hand washing to keep germs at bay. We've heard a lot about washing hands, right? That's the best advice that we can follow in keeping ourselves healthy is washing our hands. Amen. I decided this winter I wasn't going to get a cold. I wasn't going to get sick. Now, there's a spiritual aspect to that, too, and a faith aspect. But just naturally, I said, you know, I'm going to be careful. If I'll just wash my hands, I can stay healthy. And I stayed healthy all through the winter. Didn't have a cold. Didn't have anything like that. Stayed healthy all through the winter. And I know, well, number one, it's God. But number two, I washed my hands. I was diligent to wash my hands. Another thing about this is disinfectant, a natural disinfectant. Vitamin C is good for your immune system. All right? So make a note of that. One thing it does, here's why it's so good, because vitamin C builds up levels of hydrogen peroxide inside your body. Anybody ever use hydrogen peroxide to disinfect stuff? Like if you got, you know, a cut or something? Or do you use it with a cut? Okay. I've used it. I know like a scab or a sore like that. You put hydrogen peroxide and you watch those bubbles. You just know it's doing good. Those bubbles are just killing all that bad stuff, you know, that's going to cause infection. It's a disinfectant. That's why vitamin C is so effective against viruses. If you take it in, you know, the president got torched for, you know, one of the doctors came out or one of the scientists came out last week and talking about sunlight and talking about disinfectants and all. And he said, is there any way we can inject this? And you know, people said, he's telling people they should drink Lysol, you know, or inject Clorox, you know. And I don't think he was talking about that. But even if he made a gaffe, there's some truth to it. And the truth is, you know, don't drink Clorox and don't drink Lysol. I'm not saying that. But vitamin C will produce hydrogen peroxide inside your system, and that is a disinfectant. All right? Now, some other things. I got this information from a friend of mine that I went to college with, and he was in the military. He was a chemical officer in the military. He posted this the other day. He said, one of the ways that water is now purified is through the use of ultraviolet light. The main natural source of ultraviolet light, you know what it is? Sunlight. Exactly. The sun. And they've been coming. They came out last week and they said the sun kills the virus. 70 to 75 degrees in sunlight, the virus can live only a minute and a half. Isn't that amazing? All right. So get out there. Amen. See the sheltering in place can be counterproductive if you don't ever go out and get any sun.
Amen.
Okay, sunlight. As a former chemical officer, the two things we were taught as the best disinfectant for contaminated surfaces from a biological agent is first chlorine bleach, and then second, sunlight. And then finally, he says this, vitamin D is an essential nutrient for absorption of calcium, but it also has a huge role to play in a healthy immune system. Some forms of vitamin D are created in the body when the body is exposed to sunlight. Exactly, exactly. Now, this is all natural, but I want to take what we've just talked about in the natural and let's apply it in the spiritual. Because what about our spiritual immune system? Did you know you have one?
Yes.
Look at this scripture in Proverbs 18. We finally got to the Bible. Proverbs 18, verse 14, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? That's your spiritual immune system. Your spiritual immune system, your spirit man will sustain you when you get attacked with sickness. So it's really important to, as we pay attention to our natural immune system and as we do things to boost our natural immune system, it's also important to recognize we have a spiritual immune system and we need to do what is necessary and what we can do to boost our spiritual immune system.
Amen.
Amen. The Amplified Bible, it says it this way, the strong, everybody say strong.
Strong.
Oh, that sounds so good to hear your feedback. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So our spirit can be strong or our spirit can be weak, just like your natural immune system can be strong or it can be weak. If your natural immune system is weak, then you're more susceptible to disease and sickness and viruses. If it's strong, you're much less susceptible. Those things just bounce off. Well, the same is true spiritually. The Message Bible says it this way, a healthy spirit. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? So our spirit needs to be strong. Our spirit needs to be healthy. See, our spirit is like an extra immune system for our body.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Your spiritual immune system doesn't just affect you spiritually. It affects you physically. I want you to understand that today. Your spiritual immune system affects you physically. I'm going to prove that to you. So just like the natural immune system, remember they said that it keeps, it's a defense, it keeps disease from getting into you. But then if something does get in, then you got a second level that zaps what comes in. Well, that's what this verse is saying. Your spirit will sustain you in sickness. That's talking about that second level defense there. All right. So what we need to understand is this, is that the effect of a spiritual action on our physical body is real. The effect of a spiritual action upon our physical body is real. See, a lot of times people compartmentalize their lives and they say, well, this is my spiritual life. This is my physical life over here. And they don't make a connection. You know, I've been around people like that, tried to share the Word of God. It seemed like I dropped out a little bit. Did I drop out? Can you boost me up just a little bit? Hello? There we go. Okay. I just want to make sure that the battery wasn't dying. But I've seen people where you or been around or tried to share with people where you share biblical truth with them and you know it can affect their physical condition, but it's like it goes past them. It's like it doesn't register on them. And then they say something like, oh, well, yeah, I believe in God and all of that. But then they just go right along with their life as though the spiritual condition and the spiritual answer you're sharing with them was only for the spiritual part of their life. And they didn't know it could affect the physical part of their life. But there is definitely the effect, a spiritual action definitely has effect on our physical condition. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I want to give you a scripture that illustrates that powerfully here. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For their life to those who find them, and health to what? To all their flesh. What is? What's health to our flesh? What? God's Word. The Word of God. But where does the Word of God have to go into to be health to our flesh? Can you take the Bible and rub it on your skin and heal you of eczema? No. The Word of God is spiritual, right? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. God's words have to be received and believed in the heart. And when God's words are received and believed in the heart, then they flow out and they affect the body. They heal the body. Hallelujah. Look at what it says here in God's Word translation. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Verse 22. For their life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Well, I'm not sure what translation that is, but the one I wanted says, keep them deep. Let me just read it to you. Keep them deep within your heart because they're life to those who find them and they heal the whole body. They heal the whole body. This is God's word. I must have given the wrong information there. But they heal the whole body. So again, write this down if you're making notes or if you're keeping. How are we doing here? Have you found all those words? See, I've said almost all of them already, haven't I? Okay, on Sunday sermon bingo. Okay. So this is a great idea, Amanda. We should do this. It's keeping the adults more engaged. Amen. But write this down. Spiritual truth received and believed in the heart heals the body. Spiritual truth received and believed in the heart heals the body. Now, we said there's things that we can do in the natural to strengthen our immune system. There's also things that will compromise or weaken our immune system. You know the same is true spiritually?
Yeah,
I want to point out three things that will weaken your spiritual immune system. Three things that we want to avoid. Three things that we want to make sure that we're not walking into. Number one is this, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will compromise and will weaken our spiritual immune system. Those of you that come to prayer school, you know that one of our books in prayer school that I read a little section, couple of pages usually every week is out of Mark Rutland's book, 21 Seconds to Change Your World. And that book has had such an impact in my life. He's talking about the 21 seconds is it takes 21 seconds to pray the Lord's Prayer, like we prayed this morning. And in the center of the Lord's Prayer is this statement, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. And in the 23rd Psalm, he adds that in with it and talks about how the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer fit together. In the 23rd Psalm, David makes this statement right up front. He says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. And he does that through forgiveness. And so he shared a story in this book about a lady that he was going to pray for when he was ministering at a church. And she had come to the pastor asking for the pastor and Dr. Rutland to pray for her, that she'd been suffering for years. She'd suffered these migraine headaches, and it just, if any of you have ever suffered with migraine headaches, you know how it just shuts you down. And this woman had suffered for years with these migraine headaches. And as he began to pray for her, Dr. Rutland had a vision. And he saw a little girl in a blue dress and he described it, you know, perfectly, you know. So he told the lady, he said, if this doesn't mean anything to you, just forget it. He said, but I had like a vision and I saw a little girl, and he described the dress, and she said, yeah, that's me. She said, that's when I was 10 years old. That was my 10th birthday. And she said, I was an unwanted child. She said, my mother let me know in no uncertain terms that I was unwanted. And I had my older brother was 10 years older than me. on my 10th birthday, she said the only gift that I got was I got that dress from a neighbor because our neighbor felt sorry for me. She knew that my mother didn't really care for me. And so she gave me that dress, and I was so proud of that dress, and I was wearing that dress that day. And I also, the only other gift that I got is an aunt sent me a birthday card, and it had a $10 bill in it. And when I opened up the card and there was a $10 bill, my mother snatched it out of my hand, gave it to my 20-year-old brother, and said, "What does a little girl, 10-year-old girl, need with $10? And gave it to my brother. And she said, I stood out on the porch, and Mark Rutland saw this in the vision, that she was standing out on the porch with her fist clenched and her eyes closed, and the little girl just screaming, "I hate you, I hate you." And the woman described it just like that, just like he had seen. And she said, you know, and she, in fact, she said her voice, he said her voice changed into the voice of a little girl as she related that. And she said, you know, come to think of it, she said, "I've been sick pretty much since that day. I've been sick pretty much since that day." And so he led her. He told her then about, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. And you need to forgive your mother. You need to forgive your family. You need to forgive yourself. That rejection makes you feel like you're the bad one. It's your fault for some reason. And you need to forgive God. And so he led her through that prayer. And she prayed, and he told her to begin to do that. Begin to pray the Lord's Prayer, and begin to pray especially the part, "Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive. I forgive." She began to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it wasn't long till the migraine headaches were gone. She was free of the migraine headaches. She was healed. Her marriage was healed and restored. And God just did wonders as she made the very difficult decision to forgive. See, unforgiveness, even though it was certainly, you would think, justified because of the way she was treated, unforgiveness, we can never justify it. We can never justify unforgiveness in our life, no matter the betrayal or the mistreatment or what has happened to us. For our sake, for our good, we have to forgive. We have to forgive and let it go. Amen? Why? Because it will cripple and weaken and compromise our immune system. And you can't afford to have that happen in your life. Amen? The second thing that compromises our spiritual immune system is worry and fear. I put these two together, worry and fear. What does God's word say about worry? Yeah. When I was studying this, I've been, of course, you know, I have two grandsons, and one of them is here and coming, Elliot. And he loves the movie. I've shared it with you. He loves the movie Cars. We watched Thursday. We watched Cars. This little boy that's not even 2 years old yet sat through a 2-hour movie. He loves it. Anytime that I'm with him, he says, "Cars? Watch Cars? Watch Cars?" He used to say, "Cars go fast." Now he's figured out it's just Cars. "Watch Cars?" And I'll say, "No, we can't. Your mom and daddy are going to get mad at me if I let you watch Cars all the time here." And so I'll put him off for about an hour, and he'll keep asking, "Watch Cars? Watch Cars?" So we'll sit down, and he sits in my lap. Oh, it's glorious. And we watch Cars. But if you've seen the movie Cars, anybody seen the movie Cars? If you've not seen it, you've missed half your life. It's the greatest movie. Now I know, since Elliot has led me to this knowledge, it is the greatest movie ever made. It really is. It really is good. But anyway, this race car, Lightning McQueen, accidentally gets knocked out of his the truck that's hauling him to the big race in California. He ends up off the interstate on Route 66 in a forgotten little town named Radiator Springs. And he comes flying through the town trying to get back to the interstate. And the sheriff chases him. The sheriff's car's backfiring, and Lightning McQueen thinks he's been shot at. And he ends up getting caught up in this thing. And so the sheriff puts him in the impound lot, which is the jail. And he appoints the tow truck named Mater to watch him. And so Mater is watching the prisoner in the impound lot. And Lightning McQueen begins to talk to Mater. And he says, hey, why don't you show me around the town? And so Mater's about to unlock the gate of the impound lot. And the sheriff comes up and he says, Mater, what did I tell you about talking to the prisoner? And Mater says, to not to. So what does God tell us about worry? To not to. Don't worry. Jesus said, don't worry about your life in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will wear, what you'll put on. Don't worry. Amen. Why? Because you have a heavenly Father that takes care of you. Hallelujah. Paul told us not to worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will cover your life. Peter says, cast all your cares over on Him because He cares for you. Amen. So worry and fear will absolutely compromise your spiritual immune system. Look at this verse in Proverbs 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14, 30. A heart at peace does what? Gives life to the body. A spiritual action affecting our body. A heart that's at peace gives life to the body. Well, your heart's not at peace if you're full of worry. Your heart's not at peace if you're full of fear. A heart at peace, though, will actually minister life to your body. That's your spiritual immune system affecting your body in a positive way. But envy, that's another thing that will compromise our immune system. Envy rots the bones. Well, we don't want to get into envy, amen? All right, let's move on here. The third one is this, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin will compromise and will weaken our spiritual immune system. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Notice what he says, when I kept silent. What does he mean by keeping silent? Go back to verse 3 for a second, Trinity. When I kept silent. He's talking about he had sin in his life that he was not dealing with. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. Verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. What was happening? He was being weakened and compromised. His spiritual immune system was being weakened. Why? Because he had this unconfessed sin that he was holding on to. Verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you. Now, again, I heard somebody say, you know, Kenneth Copeland, I think, he said this, when you confess your sin, it's not when God found out about it. Think about that. Isn't that right? So is it for God's benefit that we confess our sin? It's for our benefit to get it out of our life. Amen. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Thank God he does. If we confess our sin, John wrote in 1 John, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And James says in James 5:16, he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Go ahead and throw James 5:16 up there, Trinity. I'm moving fast here. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's great power in confessing our sin and getting it out of our life. It brings strength back into our spiritual immune system. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Now, let's get over on the positive side. And, you know, so Pastor, it's already past 11. Listen, I've been preaching 23-minute sermons. I'm going to preach a little bit longer today. All right? We're not going to keep you much longer here. We're winding down. Let's talk about things that build up our spiritual immune system. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 16 says this, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench how many?
All
the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith, if we'll take it up, he says taking the shield of faith. So you have to take it up. It's not automatic. You have to take it up. Amen. You have to make a decision. I'm going to live in faith. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in faith. And you take up the shield of faith. And that shield of faith, Paul writes and tells us, will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let me ask you a question. The wicked one, that would be Satan, right? Okay. Let me ask you a question. Where does sickness and disease come from? It comes from Satan. Acts 10:38, Jesus said, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is oppression from the devil. So, all the fiery darts of the wicked one, would that include sickness and disease? Right? The fiery darts of the wicked one would include, it would include the coronavirus. Right? The shield of faith will quench how many of them?
All.
Nothing didn't say all except, it said all. The shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. So the thing that will strengthen our immune system is to stay in faith. To stay in faith. Get in faith. Raise up that shield of faith. Refuse to live in fear and choose to live in faith. Amen. Praise God. Here's another scripture that will help us. Jude 20 says this, but you, beloved, doing what? Building yourselves up. What are we talking about today? Building up our spiritual immune system. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Spirit will build us up spiritually. Will build up our immune system spiritually. Praise God. It's one way to build up our faith. Praise God. Now, right in line with this, the one thing they talked about with your natural immune system that's important is what? Exercise, right? Exercise. So let's talk about exercise. That's the third thing that will build up our spiritual immune system as well. So number one, live in faith, not in fear. Number two, pray in the Spirit. That's one way to build up our faith. All right. And then number three, exercise. Okay. How do we exercise spiritually, though? We know how to exercise naturally. I mean, we get out and go for a walk, go for a jog, go for a hike, go work out at the gym when the gym opens up again or whatever. But what about how do you exercise spiritually? How do you do that spiritually? Well, praying in the Spirit is actually spiritual exercise. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:14, says, if I pray in a tongue, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. So what you're doing when you pray in other tongues, you're letting your spirit get outside and run around a little bit. You're literally exercising your spirit. Your spirit gets to exercise. When you start praying in tongues, your spirit says, "Whoo, it's good to get out and to exercise a little bit. They kept me sitting in here and sitting on the sofa watching Netflix and I'm tired of that. I'm ready to get out and run around a little bit." That's what happens when you pray in tongues. Your spirit is praying. Your spirit is finding expression. I got to get back up here. I sure don't want to spit on anybody today. I don't have the virus. You might get healed if I spit on you. But I'm not going to do it. Amen. We don't want anybody to shut us down. Now, that pastor is spitting on people in there in that church that had church today. All right. So I'll get back up here so I won't spit on you. All right. But when we pray in the Spirit, our spirit gets to exercise. Yes. Amen? Yes. Now, another way that we exercise is to use our faith. Yes. To use our faith. Amen? Yes. Now, faith, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. That's like feeding. That's like nourishment and food coming into your body. The potential comes. But how many of you know just eating is not going to develop your physical muscles? You got to go out and exercise, right? Well, what does that mean? How does it? What do we do spiritually? It means that we have to act on God's word. It's not enough to hear it. We have to make a decision. I'm going to put this word into practice. I'm going to be a doer of the word. When we do the word of God, we're exercising our faith. Hallelujah. And exercise is so important for a strong spiritual immune system. Amen. Praise God. The next one, number four, would be rest. In the natural, that's important to rest, to get enough sleep. Well, same is true spiritually. Rest is not being lazy. You know, God gave us a pattern for rest. God, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all of creation in what? 6 days, right? Remember that? What did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Did God need to rest? Did God get tired? He's God. He doesn't get tired. Why did he do it? He did it as to set a pattern for us. Because he knew that we would need to do it. So one day out of every seven, you ought to rest. Amen? So, well, I'm not under the law. Well, Jesus said this. He said man wasn't made for the Sabbath. It's not a law issue, but the Sabbath was made for man. Gain the benefit from it. Amen. That's good preaching. Jesus said it this way. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what? I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. Amen. Praise God. So our soul needs rest as well. Then that'll build our spiritual immune system. That'll keep it strong. It'll keep it healthy. Amen. And then hand washing. So, well, how are you going to get anything spiritual out of that one? I'm so glad you asked. Trinity, let's show them, please. Reveal the next scripture. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So just like we've been practicing good hygiene by washing our hands, we need to take the Word of God several times a day. Royal said he's about to rub his fingerprints off. He's washed his hands so much lately. Yeah. He didn't phrase it exactly like that, but he said something to me the other day about how something. I've been washing my hands so much. Well, that's a good thing. You may have to do that spiritually. Amen. Wash. We need to wash our hands of the unbelief. We need to wash our spirits and our minds of the unbelief and the fear and the negative attitudes that are so prevalent that we can pick up each day. We need to take a word break and wash with the water of the word and wash that stuff off of us. Amen. How do you do that? By reading the word and by speaking it. Read God's word and speak it out your mouth. You're washing yourself with the word of God. Hallelujah. And you're going to maintain a strong spiritual immune system. Reed, come on back up if you would. Last point is this. Have a merry heart. Hallelujah. Angela, I told you. She quoted this verse that I'm about to read to you this morning. Have a merry heart. Rejoice and be glad. Proverbs 17:22 says this. A merry heart does good like medicine. A merry heart does good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. Amen. That's your spiritual immune system right there. One thing that's going to keep it strong is having a merry heart. Amen. In the middle of all this, confusion and fear and chaos, have a merry heart. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord. See, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't He? He has it. You know, the Lord spoke to my heart at the beginning of this year, first Sunday that we were here. Kim Clout was here. I remember taking the platform at the end of praise and worship. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, 2020 will be a remarkable year for the people of God. I still believe that. I believe that. No coronavirus can stop that. No disruption in the economy can stop that. 2020 will be a remarkable year for the people of God. God is still the same. And He gives us reason to rejoice. He gives us reason to be glad and to have a merry heart. Have you ever, I want to read it to you out of the Message Bible. It says, a cheerful disposition. Do we have that one? Yeah. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. Amen. You ever heard the remarkable story of the healing of a man named Norman Cousins? Some of you may have heard of this. He is an author and was pretty well known. His story is, I've heard of it for years. I do not know that he was a believer, and I do not know if he understood the spiritual truths behind what he was doing. But you know, you can stumble onto a spiritual truth, whether you're a believer or not, and it'll work for you. I mean, the law of gravity works just as good if you're saved or unsaved, right? It's a law that God created, and it'll work for you if you come in contact with it. Spiritual law is the same way. So I don't know if he was saved or not, but he had a condition called ankylosing spondylitis. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it was a painful collagen illness, and it rendered him immobile and at its peak nearly incapable of moving his jaw. His doctor and his longtime, who was also his longtime friend, put it to him bluntly. He said, Norman, only one out of every 500 people that are diagnosed with this affliction fully recover. And so to beat the odds, he said, you know, I'm just not going to accept this. He quickly decided he needed to actively pursue why his body was reacting the way it was and how he could reverse the damage. First of all, he concluded that at a recent extremely stressful trip that he had made to Russia, he had rendered his immune system vulnerable to toxic fumes emitted by large diesel truck engines that were working round the clock at the hotel he was staying at in Russia. So his immune system was compromised through stress. He's breathing in these toxic fumes of these diesel engines. The task before him was simple, he realized. He needed to restore his immune system. He just needed to figure out how. Relying on previously read books on the subject, he learned that negative emotions, such as frustration or suppressed rage, are linked to adrenal exhaustion. Therefore, Cousins assumed the opposite to be true, that positive emotions, love, hope, faith, laughter, confidence would yield positive results. However, Cousins knew that putting positive emotions to work is nothing so simple as turning on a garden hose. Additionally, the pain medication, he was on taking 38 pills a day of aspirin and phenylbutazone. And he learned that even those drugs he was on, even in small amounts, could be destructive and promote internal bleeding in his system. So he went to his doctor and he said, I want to do this. He said, to repair my immune system, I want you to give me ascorbic acid, vitamin C. Yep. Vitamin C. Which he read could combat inflammation. I don't know if this is a helicopter or what, but I want you to know, I don't know, when we would record our messages on Saturdays, I never knew so many motorcycles rode by our church on Saturday afternoon. But they do. All right, we're trying to keep things quiet as we record. All right. So he says, I need vitamin C. And he read that could combat the inflammation and it could nurture his deteriorating adrenal glands. And to combat the unbearable pain, he started watching Marx Brothers films and Candid Camera and things like that. He quickly discovered, this is amazing, he quickly discovered that 10 minutes of induced hearty laughter would yield 2 hours of painless sleep. He was in excruciating pain with this. And he found out if he could laugh for 10 minutes, then he could sleep pain-free for 2 hours. Think about that. The result is clear. After several years of continuous laughter therapy, Cousins experienced little to no pain in day-to-day living. Though he relied on vitamin C to physically repair his immune system, He relied on the often overlooked medication of laughter to mentally cure his condition and to live to the age of 75. Now you think 75, that's not that old. Well, I think he was diagnosed with this, I think, in his 40s. So he bought himself 30 some years of pain-free living from a condition that only one in 500 recover from. But he recovered from it primarily because he gave attention to his natural immune system by boosting it with vitamin C. But then even more importantly, he tapped into the spiritual truth, a merry heart does good like medicine. A merry heart does good like medicine. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. I read a statistic the other day. It said that little children laugh about 7 to 8 times more than adults do every day. And I after I read that, I started noticing with Elliot. And I love to make him laugh. And I started laughing with him. When he would start to laugh, I would laugh. It's really neat with the little one too. The other day he was tuning up about ready to cry because he wasn't going to be getting something that he wanted right then. He said, like that. And I said, no, you did it like that. And he went, and he wanted me to do it again. And so I did it again and again and again. And he would laugh each time. Amen. We need to laugh more.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
We need to laugh. Why? Because it's good for your immune system.
Yes.
Glory to God. Yes. Whether it's COVID-19 or whatever the devil rolls down the highway against us, we can overcome it and defeat it if we'll keep our spirit strong. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. Amen?
Amen.
I'll leave you with one last scripture here. Thank you for letting me keep you a little bit longer today. It's Amanda's fault, though. I'm blaming on her. We got that one, Trinity, Exodus 23. Did I give you that one? Okay. All right, look at this. Again, let me read it out of the... That's a little bit different translation than one I got here. I don't know what the difference is. Just listen to it. This is out of the NLT, New Living Translation. You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I'll bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. This is good, too. I'll get rid of the sickness among you. That's good, too. He says, I'll protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages our infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand up as we go this morning and let me pray over you. Let's believe God together today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my church family. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And I stand in agreement with each one of them, Lord, that they are healed and they are healthy and divinely protected in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that we'll keep our spiritual immune system strong. And I thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, that we walk forth in victory. Lord, I pray that others will be encouraged and emboldened by our walk of faith in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that victory and light spreads across our nation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you right now that healing flows to my brothers and sisters from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. Sickness be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pain be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus. Healing flow in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. This is another good analogy. You know, you can if you get in bad shape, and you can go to the doctor, go to the hospital, and they can fix you up. But then if you don't do anything to build up your own immune system, you're going to end up right back in there, right? Maybe not the next week or what, but whatever. So you know, we have people have to take responsibility to build up their own immune system, is what I'm saying. You know, the spirit. There's a spiritual correlation there. Somebody can pray for you for your healing. Somebody can lay hands on you, you know, for your healing, and you can receive your healing. But if you don't take the steps that we've talked about today to keep your own spiritual immune system built up, the devil will steal your healing away from you. Brother Hagin, in his, you know, his ministry really began to explode and to grow during the healing revival that took place in the late 40s, from 1947 to 1958. There was a healing revival in America. That's when Oral Roberts came to prominence. Oral Roberts had a tent that would seat 20,000 people. He would go and set it up. That's as big as Phillips Arena. Think about that. That's how many people Phillips Arena, or what's called State Farm Arena now, where the Hawks play in concerts in Atlanta. But 20,000 people, and people, multitudes would come, and there'd be miraculous healings and miracles. People would come from all over. The reason he had a tent for 20,000 people is because he needed it that big. 20,000 people would come to his meetings, and he was not the only one. There were others, other healing evangelists, crisscrossing the country in that day. But Brother Hagin said, you know, I saw a lot of people would lose their healing, so I decided to minister different. And he never had a tent. He said, even though people prophesied, yay, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt get a tent. God didn't tell him to get a tent. You know, people meant well, but they, you know, he said, no, the Lord said, no, you stay in the churches and you teach people faith. And so he would teach faith, and he would teach people how to keep their healing. And he would teach people how to walk in things I've been talking about today, how to build up your spiritual immune system. And he saw a greater retention rate of people keeping their healing. Amen. So that's what we have. We're each one's responsible for that. Nobody can do that for you. You've got to take responsibility. Amen. And I know you're willing to, and I know you're going to. We all are. Amen. Praise the Lord.